This is Eva Cox in the latest episode of A Truly Civil Society. I want to talk today about the concept of a social contract because I think this is what we're missing. I think we need an Australian social contract back again so that we can actually return the debates to what makes a functionally fair, visible society that's based on collective well-being with protection of diversities, based on the recognition of individual rights and responsibilities. Because these options will be offered in Australia, they'll be different, because our history is different. We're a coloniser, settler nation that was established by the Crown, a public service, corrective services beginning, and we expect governments to be closely involved in the actual governance. And a lot of the early settlers really wanted to create a better option, at least for the settlers, than that was offered in Britain at the time when they arrived here. Mind you, we actually did very badly with First Nations and later on with the Chinese. But the settlers themselves did have grand ideas of creating a better society than what they'd left behind in England. These views were summed up as an implicit social contract. We had a long history of innovation in democratic and social policies, early voting for men and then for women, the setting up of federation, the basic wage, which was a very early reform, ensuring people had enough money if they had a job, set hours of the working week, etc. The post-war welfare state was an optimistic light on the hill that came after the Second World War and was followed even by Menzies and then brought into real being by Whitlam. Public housing, welfare, education and healthcare. And that was actually very much part of who we were and discussed until the 1980s market shift. Since then, it's gradually been disappearing. And what we need to do is have a look at what's happened to things like the various public and private institutions we once trusted. For example, most community services and healthcare and a range of children's services are now profit-making and no longer publicly or communally owned or run. So we need to actually get back to the idea that these ought to be things that are part of the community and are there to serve the community, not to make profits. Existing and past royal commissions have identified deep distrust and profit motives that has made us all customers, not citizens with entitlements. We now have to actually make sure we get the best deal available rather than the government giving us the deal that is fair and reasonable for us to have. We've sold off lots of other things that we used to own, which gave us a sense of belonging. Banks, harbours, energy providers, public utilities, the GPO in Sydney and other famous buildings, they're all privatised and sold off. And we've only got an emphasis on getting paid work as being the only way that we contribute to the society and ignores the very necessary unpaid contributions, especially by women as carers. Even our welfare system, mean though it has been in the past, has got worse with robo-debts and increased conditionality of payments, such as the cashless debit card, making life a misery and payments are far too mean to live on. We have stigma on non-paid workers, and the idea that voluntary contributions are actually valued occurs on a couple of days a year when we actually produce the honours list. And we then say, oh, isn't it marvellous the way people are giving all this time for nothing, but we don't count it in gross domestic product, so it's not really part of our society in that particular sense. In fact, the concept of a society seems to have disappeared. We just seem to be a market. So there's times that we really do need to start thinking through how we get change our priorities, how we shift back to the idea that we're citizens and not customers. We need it because there's threats of environmental damage from the emphasis on increased production and growth, which is the only thing we seem to be talking about. Good heavens, we're about to hit a crisis and our GDP is sinking. We need to find other ways of discussing fairness. And we need governments to uphold a high standard of equity and democracy so that we can actually trust them to fix the problems rather than just talking about GDP and jobs. Let's talk about serious social changes like shorter working hours and an increased interest in rewarding unpaid, socially valued contributors to the common good. How do we do that? We give up on the fact that we've had 300 years of the Industrial Revolution and start looking at what happens in other sorts of societies. Our First Nations history gives us a wealth of examples of ways of living together and sharing resources and time use that we can learn from our own varied histories that we come from other countries. We've got lots of examples of communal caring and creative ways of using resources that we can revive or continue with some of it's already out there. At the local level, there's a growing interest in mutuals, co-ops and commons, which are forms of providing services and goods, which are not about making profits, but about sharing things. There's a much wider interest in sharing what might be called the commonwealth, maybe via the forms of a universal social dividend instead of the welfare system which punishes people that can't work. We actually need to introduce such changes because the rising lack of trust that we have at the moment is quite toxic. And it's happened because of the turnover of prime ministers, the many inquiries exposing gross behaviour by once respected institutions, including banks and cricketers, churches and the establishment of children, all of those areas that we expect to do be there for the common good. But unfortunately, both our public and our private institutions have failed to act ethically and responsibly, let alone for the common good. So we need to revive standards of behaviour. We need to get back to the idea of social democracy, which involves always a contract, a social contract, that balances the roles of government with the roles of businesses and other forms of institutions. Well-functioning societies need our leaders to recognise good lives, both private and public, depend on relationships which establish our sense of who we are. We're emotional people. We want to feel we belong. How do we feel about the world and how does the world feel about us? Policies that develop social resilience and communal well-being are essential to make diverse democracies functional and able to deal with different decisions. We have some very different ways of looking at how we control the damage that we're doing to the environment and to each other, and that requires a high level of trust and trustworthiness. So I just think we've got to start really thinking about what sort of society we want to live in. I think we need to talk about trustworthy criteria for selecting public and private providers of goods and services. What should the government provide? Universal services. What should be given by not-for-profit community-based local services and charities? Those things which are actually need local and particular communal input should be done that way. As market models are providing less than optimum services, we need to start talking about where the private provider should be. There's things they can do better than us, sell various products and so on. Given that growth creates environmental damage and technology reduces the demand for paid labour, what sort of changes do we need to consider? How do we value contributions of unpaid work that are crucial to our well-being? So let's get back to the idea of creating a social contract where we are responsible citizens with a responsive parliament. And we need to be civil to each other so that we have societies that are based on generosity, care, and good relationships, not just self-interest.